Hey, welcome back to the TNT podcast. About to hit up this week 10 recap. Looking to week 11. We're going to talk about bold predictions and spicy takes. We're going to start this thing off first. Kentucky, Mizzou. Kentucky tried to lose it, but Mizzou wanted to lose it worse. I watched that game. I think Mizzou had plenty of chances to win. Eli Drinkwitz, maybe a little too comfortable with that two-year extension. Wildcats come out of Columbia 21-17. 21.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jonathan. This was a game where Mizzou had multiple opportunities in second, third quarter to take the lead and continue. But, again, it was kind of like who's going to give up this win, and it ended up being Mizzou. Drinkwitz with a two-year extension, offense looked a little more comfortable and not as explosive as it's been in the past. But Kentucky looking to possibly get another 9-10 win season, and that's huge for Mark Stoops and this Kentucky Wildcat football program.
Yeah, Kentucky kind of fell off from high hopes. Tennessee shoved them back down to third place in the SEC East. They're getting comfortable in the second place. Like you said, they can make this a possibly a 9-1 season, which will be huge for the program. Kentucky's not done. But moving on, Florida beats Texas A&M. At Texas A&M, I think Jimbo's lost the team. They don't care anymore. They're worried about basketball. They're worried about women's basketball. They're worried about anything but football. Question is, to you, Peyton, does Jimbo make it to the end of the season?
That's a good question. Again, you know, I feel like we're the only source that called this in the beginning, where everybody thought A&M was going to be a playoff team, possibly playing in the SEC West as the champion for the SEC championship. But it really depends on this weekend. I feel like if Jimbo loses this weekend to a one-game head coach and a very bad Auburn football team, that will kind of be the
nail in the coffin.
Nail in the coffin. Time to cut the cord. Time to move on. And it depends on what candidates out there for them to get. Again, A&M is a top-tier job. They're going to pay. They got that oil money where they can pay. It's kind of hard to tell, but again, first half, you know, A&M looked like they were rolling. It's the second half adjustments. It reminds me a lot of Brian Harsin's team and what they've been, where they have not come out in the second half and made good adjustments. And Florida looked a lot better. This was a huge win for the Florida Gators and Bill Napier to go into College Station and win that game. Again, Bill Napier has a good chance to get Florida into another bowl game. They got a South Carolina team that has been up and down. I guess that's Jimbo calling to tell us that he was not happy with that.
Yeah.
But and Florida's got Vanderbilt too, and the Florida State rivalry. But these are three wins Florida could get where they could turn this into an 8-win season. I think all three games are winnable for the Gators, and this is an easier part of their schedule.
All right, moving on to what I said would probably be the game of the year. It was very disappointing. You know, I will give two excuses to Tennessee. Probably not good. Probably won't stick to the wall. I think Georgia is probably the hardest place to win at in the East. I think they're second to LSU in the whole SEC right now. I mean, I saw TikToks, I saw Snapchats, saw videos, and before the guys even ran out of the tunnel, that place was loud, and Kirby wanted them loud. So I know that affects everything, affects communication. Also, the weather is starting to get wet, drizzle helps. It's always helped teams that, you know, are typically run heavy teams like Georgia and then Tennessee, which is more of a pass heavy team. Ball gets a little slick, a little harder to catch, a little harder to throw. However, even those two factors, I still think if this was played at a neutral, dry, indoor stadium, I still think Georgia wins. Tennessee's just got to be able to bounce back. They're not out of the playoff picture, and who knows? They might even still be able to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, Jonathan, Kentucky-Georgia game this weekend is going to be another tough test for the Georgia Bulldogs. But it's like you said, there was two factors that went in Georgia's favor, and you can clearly tell it affected the Tennessee Volunteer offense. But that's the thing about it. The Tennessee defense is not good enough to match or keep them in ball game. It's their offense, and their offense struggled. And it's like you said, the weather played a factor. I still think Tennessee should get another shot. We've seen Georgia, Alabama lose games by this caliber and still get another shot in the playoffs and end up winning it at times. Again, Georgia has lost a big game to Auburn in 2018 and ended up rematching 2 weeks later, and Georgia ended up winning that game against Auburn in the SEC championship. I still think Tennessee is the number two team in the SEC. They should get into the playoffs, and the road is still there, but they have to win out.
Moving on, Hugh Freeze and the Liberty Flames beat Arkansas in Fayetteville. Man, if that wasn't a job interview for Auburn, beating the team they just lost to at home. Looked real good. They came out and they put them on it early, but they almost let it slip away.
They did, and again, 21 points to go in the first half. They didn't score again after that. Great adjustments by Barry Odom. And it was again, what came to it was the decision to go for two. Good decision.
I didn't like the play call.
I didn't like the play call either. You know, KJ Jefferson is a big guy.
But he's not Tim Tebow.
But he's not Tim Tebow. He's not Cam Newton. He has been at times not that physical of a guy at times. Yes, he's big, hard to bring down. But they should have had some type of pass option out of it instead of it just being a...
You know what's a really good for two play?
What's that?
Putting the tight end in motion and rolling right and throwing it into the flats.
Right. And if the flats isn't there and they have to cover the flats, then he could run it and go. Yep. I mean, that's... I just didn't like the QB draw. And great... It's like you said, Hugh Freeze getting a job opportunity right here, I feel, in the SEC. And for that job vacancy at Auburn, possibly look for Texas A&M as well.
True.
So this is one right here where, one, Arkansas fans are shaking their head, but Liberty's a good football team that was capable of winning this game and did win this game. I really liked the decision calls by Hugh Freeze. Again, second half woes kind of affected them, but the defense is really what won them the ballgame.
I want y'all to write this down. November 9th, I called it. When you start seeing the comps, they stole it from me. I think Sam Pittman is Arkansas Ed Ogeron.
Oh, man. Okay.
Big, right. High-energy spirit guy, not a big X and O guy.
But he's got the X and O guys as his coordinator.
Yeah, he does, but it seems like it's starting to fizzle out like it did with Ed O. I mean, Liberty, come on. I know Hugh Freeze is a good coach, but.
You got the ball players.
Yeah, you got the ball players at Arkansas. My joke earlier was the reference to Brian Kelly going for two. He ran the tight end into the flats out of the motion. I think that's the way to do it right there. I think even if they went the other way and Alabama won this, I think that's the right call. You're at home. It's late. You won the coin toss at overtime.
And I really think Brian Kelly learned from the Auburn overtime last year. There was multiple times that it was going to be who was not going to convert. And having Bryce Young and all the talent that Alabama had, if you got that tie situation, why not give yourself a chance to win the ball game instead of putting it in their hands? And again, all the calls went to Alabama. This was a game that Alabama did not look physical. They did not look like they were hyped for this game. All the calls went their way. Really didn't like the fumble situation, and that gave them 3 points to put it back in overtime. And, you know, everybody's talking about the dynasty falling and all this. Look, it's not there. I feel like Alabama wins out. They'll go to the Citrus Bowl or the Peach Bowl or something like that, end up winning that game by two or three touchdowns. So I can see another 10-plus win season for Alabama, which is not a bad season to have in this type of conference.
Yeah, I think – I mean, this is huge for LSU. I think I heard some comments from multiple sportscasters. You know, a lot of people this offseason, you know, Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame's supposed to be like a top five program, like a place you stay forever. And Brian Kelly's best two teams at Notre Dame lost to Nick Saban. And at LSU year one, he beats Nick Saban.
Right.
Alabama.
And I beat him on all aspects of the game, I felt like.
I think this shows that, hey, Notre Dame is kind of – to me, they're like an old school team. Old school, like, program. Like, it's not your daddy's Notre Dame.
They need to be in a –
It's not like Miami, like how Miami used to be.
Notre Dame needs to be in a conference. It needs to go to the ACC. And I think seeing this with Brian Kelly maybe goes towards that direction, because the independent deal where you're playing all these soft teams all year, and then when you get to the playoffs and lose in the first round every year, and not just by a couple, by a lot, it just shows where this game can be important and shows the effect of being in a conference can really help you out.
Moving on to the game in Starkville. This game looked like it was going to get ugly quick. But interim coach Carnell Cadillac Williams got the boys right, took the lead in the fourth. Just didn't end the way he wanted to. Watched his press conference, and he said he took responsibility.
But you don't see a lot. Yeah, you don't see that a lot.
I think this is the best move that Auburn could have done moving forward. I think Brian Harsin was, you know, not blaming him for anything. He seemed just kind of burnt out. And I think with Cadillac, with the reins in his hands, at least they're going to have energy and they're going to come and play for every game. Mississippi State's able to hold on. You know, I think that the game-changing thing was the face mask on the kickoff return.
Man.
And that was
all you needed was 10 yards to get in field goal range.
Able to get them in a field goal range and extend it to overtime. That was a big win for State. You know, that's two in a row against Auburn. They haven't done that in a long time. And Mike Leach, I think, just needs, what, one more win to get them bowling?
Yeah, one more win, get them bowling. Again, that's big time for this State.
I think they are one of only four teams in the SEC that have been bowl eligible for 7 years in a row.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're already bowl eligible. That was the bowl win, which was huge. Again, they have East Tennessee State. They'll be at seven wins for sure. And they got two tough opponents in Georgia this weekend. And then the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving. So, which is always a great game. And to me, watching Miss State, they were hot early, man. Like, real hot. I really like the adjustment instead of Auburn rushing three. Just kind of sent the house, really got Will Roger freaking out and wasn't hitting his passes. He was overthrowing everything. He was hitting it short. The receivers weren't catching. Defense really, with Jeff Schmieding, made a great adjustment. And it started to play, and they put the offense in position to get points.
Moving on to the last game of the night. This game actually ended before the Auburn-Mississippi State game because of overtime. Man, South Carolina, they are either world beaters or they look like hot garbage. They're able to pull out a win against Vanderbilt. I like what Coach Lee's doing there. Just seems like he's missing a few pieces. He had them fighting. The Gamecocks are able to beat the Commodores 38-27 in Nashville.
And I like what Coach Clark Lee is doing as well. I mean, not getting blown out in games, keeping them close. I mean, this was an 11-point game. I know last year was closer, and I really felt Vanderbilt, if this was going to be one to win, this would have been the one. But, again, getting closer and closer, the offense is clicking for Vanderbilt. I mean, it's not where they're not getting scoreless in a quarter. They're scoring every quarter, and that's always a big step in the right direction, I feel like, as a team. The defense – it's starting to show up off and on. But South Carolina, it's like you said, it's either we're going to be the best offense in the world or we're going to be trash.
Yeah, they've really taken on the personification of Spencer Rattler. Moving on to next week, Mizzou goes into Tennessee. I see this game playing out one of two ways. I think Tennessee wins both, but here are my two scenarios. It's a hangover game. Tennessee looks sloppy, and they win it late. Or Tennessee's pissed off, and they beat Mizzou into the ground.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jonathan. I don't know which Tennessee team we're going to get. If I had to pick, I think Josh Heupel's sitting there like, guys, look, you know, we're still in a shot to get in the playoffs, but we have to put up the points and we have to win these games big. Two teams in front of them right now are Ohio State, Michigan, who still have to play each other.
Yeah.
And Michigan has had a dog crap schedule where it has been one of the worst. But it's at a point where Tennessee can still get in.
I think they will,
too. And I think they will. So, but they got to win out. And I think that's the message to the team. I think they're going to kind of be like, hey, you know, they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves. Let's go out and prove it and get another shot at them. So I think Tennessee's going to come out hot. Hendon Hooker hurt his Heisman chances a little bit. I think he's going to come out and try to show why he still should be the Heisman front runner. I'm going to go Tennessee wins this one by 35.
Okay. Battle for the boot, LSU versus Arkansas. LSU is rolling right now. I remember first episode, we were like, these teams might be the worst team in the West. That ugly loss to Florida State. And they've turned it around.
Gotten better each week, and you're seeing it. And kudos to Brian Kelly.
Yeah, this honestly, out of – this is like the SEC West coach's worst nightmare was for Brian Kelly to get settled, and he's getting settled early in his career at LSU. And I don't know about Arkansas. I don't want to. They're not in like an Auburn or an A&M situation where they're out of gas.
And what's crazy is LSU is only a 3-point favorite.
I think they cover.
I think they cover too. I'm gonna go. You know, with Daniels, I think it's gonna be an off and on battle in the first half, but I think LSU is gonna take over in the second. Again, I think they're gonna be a little beat up from playing Alabama. There's gonna have to be some guys step up in this game for LSU. Arkansas's pissed off.
Well, I think LSU's just way better than Liberty, so that's why I think LSU
I do too, but I think Liberty's – I'm sorry, LSU's going to end up winning this game by at least – I'm going to go 2 touchdowns.
Vanderbilt at Kentucky. Kentucky is ranked again. Vanderbilt goes into Lexington. I think this is a time for Mark Stoops to get the team together and just like, hey, let's finish this thing out strong. This opponent, you know, it's not tough. We haven't had the season we want, but let's finish strong, get a good bowl appearance, and continue to build this program up. So I think Kentucky wins this one.
I'm with you. I'm going to go Kentucky. I think their goal in mind is to prove, hey, we're still a football school. Get to a good bowl game. Help get that program rolling in the right direction again. I'm going to go with Kentucky winning by 21. I think they cover.
All right. Man, this is probably my game of the week here. Alabama at Ole Miss. It's been a pretty good rivalry here in the last decade. And
get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, that was kind of a disappointment last year. I think he's going to be a little more settled. Alabama just, even their whole fans just seem very disappointed. I think Nick Saban's a good coach, though. I think he's going to bounce back. But I think this is going to be a back-and-forth game. It being at Ole Miss, man, I don't know who to pick. I think I'm going to pick Alabama simply because I don't think I've ever seen Nick Saban's Alabama team lose 3 games in a season.
Well, they did.
Well, I guess his first year.
No. I think in 2010 they did. They lost to South Carolina.
And Alabama, and Auburn, that's it.
No, they lost to LSU.
Well, I'll let the fact check that.
Okay, all right.
But I got the Tide winning in Oxford. I don't think Ole Miss is good. I think they're a good team. I don't think their defense is just not good.
And I'm with you on that. But the thing that I think is going to play a factor into this is Ole Miss had a bye week this week.
True.
They're fresh. They know they've had 2 weeks to plan for this Alabama team. Alabama losing the game to LSU. I just don't think the fire is going to be there. They're really out of playoff contention now. I don't, with the teams that are ahead of them, I don't see them getting there. And you're really going to start seeing some of these players, I think, back off. And I might be wrong on this, but I just think Ole Miss has had 2 weeks to plan for Nick Saban in Alabama, and you're going to see some crazy stuff from Lane Kiffin, and I'm going to go with the Rebs win this one on a game-winning field goal.
All right, South Carolina goes into Florida. I don't know which teams are going to show up, but I think just off the top of my head, I'm going with my gut. I circle back to that Utah game, and I think with it being a 3 o'clock kickoff, 4 o'clock Eastern time, it's going to be an eventual night game, and I like the Swamp at night. I think they got better talent than the Gamecocks, and I think you know Billy Napier seems to be a really good coach at home. He's just got to work on being good on the road. However, he did have a good road win. I think the Gators have a lot of confidence, starting to trust their coach. I got the Gators over the Gamecocks in this one.
Okay. I'm with you, Jonathan. I think they are playing for bowl contingency. Like we said, they have three games that are all winnable to make this a 8-win season, possibly 9 in the bowl, which would be a great year for Bill Napier in his first year to get this Florida program back on track. But it depends on what type of South Carolina offense we're going to get. And I just think in the Swamp, it's going to be too much for Spencer Rattler. And I'm going to go with the Gators, and they win this one by 10.
All right. Georgia goes to Mississippi State. Man, I think this is going to be – I'm going to go ahead and use my first spicy take. I say this is – it's not that spicy. It's like a little mild Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I say this is the most lopsided victory in the SEC this weekend.
Okay. Okay.
I think Georgia absolutely cruises.
I'm with you. With the rush, I think they're going to drop 8. And with the 3 rush that Georgia brings, it's just going to be too much for Mississippi State. And Mississippi State's just not going to be able to get the offense rolling. With it being air raid, it's you're going to give that Georgia offense more time and opportunity to – let Stetson Bennett be Stetson Bennett, and it's just going to end up biting Mississippi State in the butt. Battle of the Bulldogs is going to go to the Georgia Bulldogs.
And then our last game of the night, battle for the last place in the SEC West.
Man.
Battle for the hasn't had a win in September. Texas A&M goes into Auburn. My spicy take number 2. Here it comes. Cadillac gets his first one as interim head coach at night in Jordan Hare. This is my reason why. I think A&M is more talented, but the team doesn't care anymore. And I think the best thing that A&M could do is what Auburn did, was get rid of their coach that's not inspiring the players anymore, showing up to practices.
I mean, what does he have to be inspired about? I mean, if he gets fired, he gets $95 million. Dollars.
He walks in there and he gets a W or an L. He doesn't care.
No.
And I think he also – I mean, aren't players, like, smoking weed in the locker room at A&M? Like,
they had 4 players in the locker room smoking – like, game locker room smoking weed.
Yeah, so
– like, there's no discipline there at all.
I'm going to take Auburn even though they're – not as talented. I think they're more focused under Coach Williams.
Well, this one's a tough one for me. I just think Jimbo's offense is going to be a little too much. It's just what second half team is going to show up for both. I think Jimbo's going to score early and often, but again, second half woes end up hurting them. If we watched last week, Auburn scored a lot of their points in the second half, made a lot of adjustments offensively, which is something we haven't seen all year.
They got their quarterback in space.
Right, and that's something they needed to do. And I love the quarterback counter and how the running backs, they were getting equal touches and they were working their strengths. Now, Auburn loses their left tackle, which
– they don't have much starting lineman.
Right, I was about to say, there, which is like, okay – so I don't know what adjustments or and the thing I like about this Auburn offense is the coaching staff is going to have a full week to put in their stuff how they want it. You couldn't get an offense ready in 3 days. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going off somebody else's call sheets, but you could tell the adjustments that they were doing and how they came up. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens. I just think it's going to be too much for Auburn, and I think A&M wins this one by 3.
Okay. So that you, those are your
and I'll say this, Jonathan. What's crazy is Auburn posted today that they're sold out for this game.
I really do think the fan base and the players love Cadillac so much that
they're willing to get behind it.
Right.
Okay.
You know, Harsin's still the coach there. I think the student section's half empty. I gave you my two spicy takes. I'll give you my last one, and then I'll hear all three of yours. My spicy take is based on the outcome of a game. I think if Alabama loses to Ole Miss, I say at least two Alabama players hit the transfer portal.
Okay. I will say this. With job searches going on, if Ole Miss ends up beating Alabama, Lane Kiffin stays in Oxford. If not, I think he'll be somewhere else.
Number one. What's your number two?
My number two is I really like this battle and this matchup of the Battle of the Boot. This game ends up sometimes coming upset, but I'm going to go with this. I truly think LSU wins this game by 21 points or more. Wow. And blows Arkansas out of the water. Wow.
All right. What's the last one?
Last one, Miss State doesn't score a touchdown.
Oof.
Take that for spicy.
All right. We'll just run out of time here. We got to do it quick. We're going to rattle off what bowls we think they're going to go to. So I think we'll just start with the East. I think Georgia and Tennessee both make it to the playoffs.
Okay.
South Carolina sitting at 6-3 right now. Man, I could see them. What's the rest of their schedule look like? Oh, man, I'm wasting time. Sorry. Pull up the schedule. Do you have their schedule?
Who are we looking at?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay.
They have Florida, Tennessee,
Clemson. Okay, I don't think they get another win.
I don't think they do too, and I can see them playing in the –
be 6-6. I think they're Birmingham Bowl bound.
I think the Duke Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, man.
Yeah.
I could just see them playing in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's the thing about bowl games. You want to keep it close to where a fan base will go.
Yeah.
Now, I think if Arkansas can find a win against Missouri, because the rest of their schedule is LSU, top 10 team.
What are we talking about?
Arkansas.
Oh, I was going to go just to Kentucky.
Well, I was talking about who's going to go to the Birmingham Bowl.
Okay.
I think if Arkansas can find a way to beat Missouri, they'll go to the Birmingham Bowl. But go ahead. Kentucky,
who they have left? They have.
They got Vandy.
That's a dub.
Georgia.
That, no.
And
I think
Louisville.
They beat Louisville.
Okay, so we're looking at 8-win season.
8-4.
I can see the
Outback Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't they play that last year against Iowa? Or
no, I think.
Did they play an Outback Bowl?
No, was it the Citrus? I think they played in the Citrus Bowl, didn't they?
I can't remember. Okay. Sorry, Kentucky fans. Florida is 5-4 currently.
They'll play in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Who we got left? South Carolina, I think that's a dub. I think they got two more wins. I don't think they beat State.
Mm-mm.
Gasparilla Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that.
Or the Gator Bowl.
Gator Bowl's a little too nice for them.
Okay.
Moving on to Mizzou, 4-5. They need two wins. Let me see. Can they find it?
I don't think they can.
Oh, well, they got New Mexico State.
And Arkansas. So, this is the one. Who's going to end up playing to go to the Birmingham Bowl? Because I think the winner.
Or the Liberty Bowl.
Okay. I can see Liberty Bowl. I just think it's going to be Birmingham Bowl for either one of those teams.
That'd be huge for – like, we've been ragging on Mizzou all year. That'd be huge for them to go bowling after the season. Just do it.
Just do it.
Vandy, no way.
Out.
LSU, I think they go to the –
I think they go to Citrus Bowl.
I was going to say the Sugar Bowl. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think they lose in the SEC championship.
Okay.
And they're three-loss
team. I mean, or would it be
the best team in the SEC goes to the Sugar Bowl. That doesn't make the playoffs.
Okay, so Sugar Bowl, okay. So that means...
I think Ole Miss goes to the Peach Bowl.
Yes. I don't... It's going to... No, the Peach Bowl's playoff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but then they also...
Okay, so...
I think it'd be Ole Miss, Clemson.
I don't know. I can see Alabama.
True.
I mean, so it's either Alabama is or Ole Miss is in the Peach Bowl,
and then the other one goes,
to Citrus Bowl.
Okay,
we could see that in Orlando.
Who's? I thought the Citrus Bowl had like a lock.
No, it doesn't have a lock right now.
No, I'm talking about like a conference winner.
Big Ten? No, it's normally the Big Ten second place or third place.
Okay, I can see that. All right, and then...
I mean, we could get an Alabama-Michigan game again, which would be huge for Jim Harbaugh.
Huge for Tom Brady. Arkansas needs one more W, and they could have got it this week to be bowl eligible. I don't think they beat LSU. I don't think they beat Ole Miss. Man, you're right, that Mizzou Bowl is going to be the battle for the Liberty or Birmingham Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, unless... Holy crap. I don't think Auburn.
Auburn has to win out, which... Looking at their schedule, if they win Saturday and they beat Western Kentucky and find a miracle in the Iron Bowl.
You tell them if – man, I don't know. It depends on this weekend. I'm going to say they have like a 2% chance. If they win this weekend and they look good and they get some momentum, they beat Western Kentucky and say Alabama –
They really needed to win this past weekend.
And say Alabama loses to Ole Miss, they won't care. And Coach Cadillac have them boys hungry. But having said that, I don't think they go bowling. And then Texas A&M, they have to beat, went out. UMass is an absolute terrible program. They got one W there. But they'd have to beat LSU, which I think is a very tall order. I don't think A&M goes bowling.
I don't.
So those are our
– And here's the deal, too. Even if they go bowling, they've turned it down 2 years in a row. They turned it down last year. So, I mean, I don't even think they care to go bowling.
Nobody cares.
No, but I mean, going bowling's fun. I really hate what it's turned into.
Yeah.
Now, another deal about it, I can see Kentucky in the Music City Bowl. We're leaving some bowls out because we have so many teams that might not get bowl eligible this year. Mm-hmm. Mizzou, Vandy, Auburn, Arkansas, Texas A&M. Like, there's so many. They're on the bubble.
Yeah,
and it's like, holy cow. So it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out. I think this weekend is going to really show us who's going to be bowl eligible and who is going to hit the road, Jack.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by. That was our bowl picks off the top of our head in the second week of November. We'll see y'all next week.